Michelle Live Podcast.
My Michelle Live.
Yes, it is. I'm liking this. Oh, he's starting to move. He's starting to move. Yes. Yes. This is going to be a good one today. I am liking it. I am indeed. Thanks for joining us. I am Michelle Mendoza, and you are in entertainment. This is our entertainment review where we'll take on some movies. And full disclosure, I've been sick. So I have watched whatever there is to be watched. I have watched it at least once, maybe slept through it and then rewatched it twice. But we're going to be taking on some of the movies of the week with an old friend who is here to join in on the fun. He is Plugged In Paul.
I'm Paul Lacey.
Here we are.
Yeah, he's getting us plugged into the movies. You can go to pluggedin.com for movies, YouTube channels, video games, music, books, music, anything pop culture. Y'all are covering it. Paul, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. Does Adam get such a nice introduction?
Never, never. But you want you want to hear Adam's introduction. You will love this. You have to chide him for it. This is his own voice. I made him do it. This is great.
I'm pretty cool. Plugging you into the movies, this is Adam Holm.
He admits it. He's pretty cool. So there you go.
That's awesome. Yes, and he admits that in the office every day. He just goes around saying, I am pretty cool.
I am pretty cool. Just to remind y'all, you know, in case you can't tell yourself.
Exactly.
Well, Mr. Plugged In Paul, there are a few movies I'm pretty excited about sharing, really good movies that I didn't even know existed until sometimes you are forced to lay back and there's nothing better to do than to find something to watch. Yeah. And I want to share a couple of those films, and we're going to share some new films, hopefully, that are out. Is there anything new that's worth noting?
You know, there are a couple of movies that folks might be interested in. Snake Eyes, the G.I. Joe movie is coming out. Now, to be completely honest with you, Michelle, I'm guessing it's terrible because we did not get an advanced screener for it. Never a good sign. Never a good sign.
Yeah, this is something that regular folk need to know, that if you don't get a screener, they don't want you to see it.
That's
There's
exactly
usually
right.
a reason for it. They're not, are they just not proud of it? Why do they put it out anyway? Why not just take it back to the drawing board and say, okay, let's tweak this so it's worth a see? There is some science and some thought behind what's released for people to screen and why it's not. So can you enlighten us a little?
It is absolutely the greatest tell as far as whether a movie is any good or not. Okay. Some movies, like around Oscar season, we sometimes see movies a month, 2 months ahead of time. Most of the time we don't get that kind of lead time, but if a studio is really proud of something and they think that it has a chance to do really well in the Oscar race, which means it's pretty good, they're going to release it early. Typically we see movies maybe a week ahead of time. If a movie does not screen at all, like Snake Eyes, you just assume it must be terrible. It must be terrible. Now, there are some exceptions. There were rumors that the last Star Wars movie we were not going to be able to see because of all the big spoilers. If it's a very spoiler-laden film, sometimes they'll delay it as late as humanly possible because they know that some reviewers do spoil a few things.
They will.
But for the most part, if we are not seeing a movie in advance, it can't be that good.
All right, so what is Snake Eyes about? Do we even know that?
We don't even know that. Snake Eyes is one of the bad guys from the G.I. Joe cinematic universe. Can you call it the cinematic universe? So he is a big player in G.I. Joe. And I believe this is sort of his origin story.
Okay.
So I am actually seeing it tonight and then writing the review right after. So, Michelle, you can think of me at midnight typing away my review.
All right. Fair enough. Fair enough.
We also have a movie called Old M. Night Shyamalan. I don't know if you're a big M. Night Shyamalan fan, but that is also coming out. And we actually reviewed a movie on Netflix called Troll Hunter, Rise of the Titan, that we can certainly talk about as well.
Okay, that sounds great. I want to get to a couple of movies that are already out there. And absolutely, undoubtedly, without reservation, worth a see. I was enchanted by a film. Dennis Quaid plays lead in this film called Blue Miracle. It is based on a true story of an orphanage in Mexico that was just really struggling. And in order to possibly save the orphanage, they enter into the world's richest fishing tournament that took place in 2014. This is an astoundingly good story. The faith element is beautiful. And I want to take just a moment, Paul, and get your thoughts if you know of the film Blue Miracle, and to pay a little homage to Dennis Quaid, who has continued throughout his career to make not only family-friendly films, but films like Soul Surfer and the like that have a strong faith element.
Right, right. Yeah, he was part of I Can Only Imagine as well, right?
Oh,
he was,
yes,
he's been
yes.
A lot of huge faith-based movies, which is pretty interesting. Yeah, and Blue Miracle, it also stars Jimmy Gonzalez. And, mm-hmm. and you're absolutely right. It's about these orphans who join up with this grizzled fisherman played by Quaid, who still looks like, I mean, he is way older than I am, but he still looks like he could probably kick my keister if he wanted to. he has remained in some pretty good shape. The spoiler, if there is a spoiler, is already in the title. You know, it is a miracle. It is an inspirational story. But more than that, Michelle, I think the thing that I really appreciated about it was it really talked about the importance of doing things the right way, right? You know, you have the main character has a chance to cheat. There's a lot of cynicism within the boys that he's trying to raise. You know, he always tells his kids, do the right thing. Go about things the right way. Work hard. Keep your nose clean. And, and one of the kids says at one point in time, how is that working out for you? You've got this bad, you're leading a bunch of orphans. You've got this beat up truck. I'm not seeing you making a lot of money doing the right thing. Hmm. But it really does talk about, I think, a point of tension actually within Christianity, which is, man, if I'm doing the right thing, shouldn't I be rewarded? Shouldn't it pay off for me in a tangible sense? This film sort of deals with that question a little bit and in a really, I think, healthy and ultimately beautiful way.
Yeah, it was an astoundingly inspirational film.
It was interesting too, I know you've seen this movie, 12 Orphans.
Yes, yeah.
12 of the Orphans, which it was another sports-related movie involving a bunch of orphans with a really good father figure that has some understated Christian good moral messages to it. It was interesting that both of them came out kind of around the same time. And I thought 12 Mighty Orphans was really great too.
Yeah, very, very good. And Blue Miracle is out there. I believe I saw it on Netflix. In fact, yes, it is on Netflix. You can watch it as a family. I think there is some elements that maybe younger kids will gloss over. It's not for a younger audience, obviously. But boy, what a family film. What an inspiration. Definitely worth a watch. And then it was maybe a little slow moving. So for teens on up, but I got to tell you, have you seen Hachi, A Dog's Tale?
Hachi, I haven't seen Hachi. Tell me about it.
So Hachi stars Richard Greer as a professor who finds this dog at a train station, just a puppy. Now, in the mix of trying to find either his proper owner or someone to take him off their hands, they keep this dog. And this dog does something very precious. Every day, he walks the professor to the train station. And every day at 5 o'clock, he rushes back to the train station to meet the professor and to walk him home. Everyone who takes the train, hey, Hachi, how you doing? You know, they reach him, they pet him, they will feed him a hot dog or two. He becomes part of the community. What takes place, though, when the professor dies, Hachi continues to go to the train station against some amazing odds and wait, because that's what he did. He waited for that man, and he waited for him every day afterwards until the dog passed away himself. Now, this is based on a true story where a dog did as Hachi did. There's a statue in the honor of this dog, but it's inspirational. It's very sweet. It talks about loyalty, family, and it's told through the story of this man's grandson. So it's a very sweet story, very well done. Yes, it is a little slow moving for maybe kids who are used to superhero films, but boy, there's my two picks of the week.
That's really great. That's really great. And I think that a story like that, it emphasizes, you know, when you think about this dog Hachi showing up every day,
yeah,
that's kind of what life is mostly about, right? It's showing up. It's showing up for your family. It's showing up for your friends. It's showing up doing, being there for people. I think that is a lesson that, oddly enough, a dog can teach us. We often overlook just how important it is to be there in the lives of people who we really value.
I'd like to take that moment to plug your book, Beauty and the Browns, because I think that's part of the lesson that I learned from your book, talking about your struggle with depression in the most unlikely, hilarious book you could read on the subject of depression. Your mind's going, what? But a lot of it that I learned is sometimes it is just showing up, Paul.
Yeah, well, and sometimes there's just nothing else you can do. If words fail us. And sometimes when we struggle with things, you know, no one can make it better by saying just the right thing. Healing is a painful process, and just being there to show and say that you are there, that can make a world of difference. That can make all the difference in the world. You don't have to have exactly the right words. You don't have to know exactly the right things to do. If you are there, that is appreciated.
Well, I appreciate your book, and you can go to My Michelle Live and get a link to Beauty and the Browns. Paul, can we talk for a moment while your office is in the supply room?
Yeah. This is the area that they have for us. My real office is in a cubicle. So when I talk with you, Michelle, I retreat into the only quiet space there is. This is what it looks like. We've got shelves full of old Christian movies. We've got shelves of old video games. This is actually what you're looking at, Michelle, and I'm not sure how many of your listeners can see this, but it's sort of like the old archives of Plugged In History. Right? It's like an archaeological dig, because you have blank DVDs, you have old video games, you have a boombox. When was the last time you saw a boombox?
That's great.
These are archives from the early days of Plugged In, when it was all, the only entertainment were really smoke signals and maybe some cave drawing. So
I love it.
It dates back all the way back.
And, you know, if you go to pluggedin.com, you can Google just about anything, including cave drawings, and they'll give you the review on those right there. You know, there is something that, you know, that we often, Adam and I, make fun of you when you're not around. And so
I know it.
So while you're here, as our favorite phrase in explaining Paul Acey is, the man can spiritualize burnt toast. And so he issued a challenge last week as we were talking about a film that I think is a turning point for the Disney Corporation, who has been involved in quite a lot, but I have yet to see something like Cruella that has come out that is more like Suicide Squad and less like a Disney film than anything ever before. And that's not to say that it isn't well done, well acted, a film that is entertaining, but the darkness involved in it is astounding. Again, being sick this week, I revisited Maleficent, which I was afraid was going to glorify the evil and downplay, you know, good. And I went into Maleficent back in the day a little leery, but walked away from that as one of my favorite Disney films. The beauty of that, of the message there, the beauty of love and understanding and repentance. Oh, the movie, it, to me, is extraordinary. So when I went in to watch this film on Cruella, I was hopeful and walked away shocked. Spiritualize that, Mr. Burnt Toast Pollies.
Well, I think that you can spiritualize it, actually. I'm going to give you and Adam way more fodder. And Cruella, as you mentioned, it's sort of an origin story of one of the most famous Disney villains of all time. It is acted tremendously by Emma Stone and Emma Thompson, right? It's a very, very entertaining movie. And of course, as you so eloquently state, it is not Maleficent, where you have this villain who redeems herself. Cruella is an unrepentant villain in a lot of ways. She's not the most villainous character in the movie, but she is definitely not very nice. And it makes the movie just makes her evilness looks so cool, you know, it just looks so chic and glamorous and all of that sort of stuff. And that's, of course, a huge problem. But I think it also speaks to the attraction that all of us can feel towards sin, right? There is a certain attraction to being bad, to doing exactly what we want to do. Cruella is an unrepentant rebel. And that is essentially what the Bible tells all of us that we all are. We are all sort of these rebels against the order that God laid out for us. And we always want to do things our own way. So in a lot of ways, we can feel that pull of Cruella to say, we are going to break the rules. We are going to do things our own way. There's a beauty with that independence, with that thought, with the idea of doing things creatively and making things new. I think that God really embraces that. But when we rebel against his design, then I think we run into problems. And that is sort of the core of Cruella's character, that rebellion. And we find that rebellion because of our own fallen, because this is the way we tend to lean, we find that attractive. C.S. Lewis actually talked about it a little bit in when he was writing his Chronicles of Narnia book. He found himself compelled by the White Witch character because she was, much like Cruella, an unrepentant bad guy. She was standing firm for doing things her own way. And I think that Lewis actually said, there's something magnetic about that. It's not a good draw, but inherently because of our human natures, we are drawn to it. And I think that that's an interesting thing that you can pull from Cruella.
Yes, indeed. And a lesson for our minds. Watching Cruella, the wake of destruction that she leaves around the people who have loved her, the people who believed in her, the people who supported her, that's food for thought as well. You can look past it and you can see the glam and the glitter and the excitement, but there is an emptiness that's left in some of the beautiful characters, the supportive, loving characters that she leaves behind in her wake. It is not as though your rebellion is a crime without victims, because it is.
Yeah. And again, just to draw your point again about Maleficent and Cruella, the difference is Maleficent in the movie turns into a good person. And that's why she becomes a hero. In Cruella, Cruella doesn't turn into a good person. And yet the movie frames her as a hero. And that's when you're talking about kids watching it. It's something that isn't necessarily a deal killer, but it's something that would inspire, I think, a lot of really good conversations with parents and kids. You know, why is Cruella attractive? Why is she cool? What do you think is wrong with her? Where do you think that she went astray? There's a lot of really interesting ways that you could go with conversations. If you're a parent with a kid who really wanted to watch Cruella, there are some good points of conversation you can have with them.
Indeed. And it helps to think about who are you as the next generation and who do you really want to be? Now, you can follow all the rules and be a goody-goody person. And maybe for a lot of people, that doesn't have the same appeal. And you can see someone like Maleficent, who didn't necessarily follow the goody-goody rules, but became a hero anyway. I think too often we like to, in Christendom, have everyone fit within the Christian cookie cutter cutout. And this is what you're supposed to look like. And this is what you're supposed to act like. And this is how you're supposed to worship. And this is how you're supposed to dress. But God designed you to be you. He designed me to be me. And I don't fit into any of those parameters. I'm sorry. But if we're willing to look at what God has for us, if we're willing to expand just a little bit, we can fit into a not so perfect, pretty picture and still become a beautiful hero in the end.
Absolutely. Preach it. I think that's exactly right. Because, and that really is one of the better messages of Cruella, is that, you know, individuality is good. The fact is that none of us fit necessarily. I mean, that's part of the Bible's message too. We're not supposed to fit in this fallen world. We're supposed to feel alien from it in some respect. And he made us all so, we're all so different from each other. And because of that, we all have our own special parts to play. We should embrace that individuality while still looking for the greater story that God is to tell with our own lives.
Can't beat that message. This is so much fun. I always love engaging with you. I wanted to, in our last couple minutes together, ask if there's anything that's upcoming or anything out there that you think that is definitely worth a see.
You know, this week was a little bit iffy in terms of movies. We did see M. Night Shyamalan's newest movie, Old, which is a PG-13 twisty sort of supernatural thriller that actually has some really interesting messages to it. You do have to worry about a little bit of nudity. You do have to worry about a little bit of gore. But the purpose of it, it's about these people who go to this beach and they age incredibly quickly. But in the process
I've
of that
weeks
aging,
like
they
that.
Really Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. In the course of the movie, some of the characters realize that what they've been prioritizing all their lives has been wrong. And so it really emphasizes that life goes quick, and we need to make good decisions, and we need to embrace the things of real value instead of chasing things that we shouldn't. So that's a pretty interesting movie. Next week, of course, we'll be talking about The Jungle Cruise, which, yeah, quite frankly, I am looking forward to.
Me too. Come on.
It's one of my favorite rides, right? I do like me some Jungle Cruise.
Yeah. And so this is going to be interesting with The Rock, of course. Another kudos to The Rock, who he has a very good track record of family-friendly films. You just can't beat that. So much like we were giving some kudos to Dennis Quaid, who has over a very long career continued to make family-friendly films, unforgettable, well-done family-friendly films. So kudos to people who keep putting out the good stuff. You will be with us next week.
I will be with you next week, so I will be able to talk all about it. Yeah, exactly.
That sounds great.
I can't wait to hear what scary spiritual questions you'll ask me next week.
Paul, you're a blessing, and I just love having you join us. We will catch you next week. Thanks for being with us. And as you're watching, you can go to pluggedin.com for long reviews, interesting information, ways that you can find a deeper story for the films that and movies and music that you and your family engage in. Even now, weekly, they have suggestions. So you can find some things, that games that you could play, movies you may want to see. And remember to catch us here. If you like this, like us, share us, go to mymichellelive.com. Be part of spreading the God story. Thanks for being with us today.
For more fun, go to mymichellelive.com.
Always great to talk with you, Michelle. Always.